Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and this is our opportunity to be glad and to rejoice in it. And that's how really we should feel every single morning of our lives, correct? God has made not only the first day of the week, He's made all things. And we live in His envelope. What a series of great blessings that truly is. All right, let's bow our heads for a minute. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to think about Your things, and we pray that they will impact our minds and hearts. May we love You, Father, in great reality because of what You've done for us, what You've told us about Yourself, and what You've designed us to be in all things. May we truly love You, to love Your commandments, and to follow You in all things. Thank You for the study of the life of Christ. Help us to appreciate our Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at the life of Jesus Christ. And go ahead, you guys, just help yourself there. And of course, you know, we're looking at the package from the standpoint of what actually happened, reading the text of Jesus coming. We realize that God had planned this from what point? When did God plan for Jesus to come to this earth? Before creation, before the foundation of the earth, God had already formed plans that Jesus Christ would come. Does that mean He knew we were going to be sinners? He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew we would rebel, and He loved us anyway. He's already planned to fix the problem that He knew we were going to have. How beautiful and how wonderful. So we come to the life of Christ, and we see just the fruition of God's plan, the execution of God's plan. And we see His powerful hand in so many ways. One of the things in this early life of Christ and early years of Jesus that I want us to see is how God is bringing so much power together in this situation. He is going to be, of course, He's already dealt with and brought about Judaism. He's brought Jesus, bringing Him in the time of Rome. That was all according to prophecy. He has had Jesus buried in many prophecies or focused in many prophecies coming forward. But as we come into this time period of Jesus' birth and early childhood, we see it's like God wants to show His almighty nature in bringing Jesus to this world. And we have, of course, the Holy Spirit and Mary. And the Holy Spirit coming, and Jesus would, of course, be of man from Mary, but from the Holy Spirit, He would be the what? Son of God, if you will. This is God in humanity, okay? God in a human body. We have Gabriel, the great angel, coming, other angels coming. We have an appearance to shepherds who are going to be so amazed, and they're going to come, and they're going to want to worship. We have Anna, who God has informed her that to look forward to this hope of Israel. So she has, you know, a prophetess looking forward to that. We have the wise men in Chaldea, Gentiles from far away, that God is going to reveal the coming of Jesus Christ to from the standpoint of a star. And, of course, they're going to come then, and they're going to worship God. We're going to have Herod, who's going to be in this picture, and God's control of Herod, and God's protection of Jesus in the midst of what Herod wanted to do. Jesus is going to be with the temple teachers, and are they going to be kind of, just another kid? Was that their attitude when Jesus was in the temple? What was their attitude? They were what? They were amazed. They were astonished at this young man. You can imagine a 12-year-old, you know, that would have so much data and information. Simeon the prophet, we have John the Baptist coming in his great power by miracle with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Elizabeth for her becoming a mother, and Zacharias as far as it being muted and not being able to talk and then talking. And we have dealing with Joseph then and the appearance to Joseph. And in all this, the angel appears to Mary. You know, we have this great entrance of Jesus Christ in a very glorious way. And that's easy to miss when you're reading one narrative at a time. When you put all the narratives together, you realize God was bringing Jesus to this earth in a very powerful way. And for those that were willing to look at these things, who is Jesus? It's pretty clear who He is, okay? Can't miss the message of the great power of God. All right, so let's come down to Mary. We have looked at John the Baptist. We have seen Zacharias. We've seen some things about Elizabeth. Let's come back to Luke chapter 1. We read this last week, so we won't read the whole text again. But we come down to Mary, and we have some things going on when the angel then in verse 26 is going to come down to Mary. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. All right, we realize, of course, again, God is showing his power, as we just mentioned, and God is handpicking the direction of Jesus' birth. He's handpicking the parents. He's handpicking the nation, correct? He's handpicking the place. Was the place of the birth of Jesus prophesied? Where would that be? Bethlehem, and of course, is that where they dwelled? I mean, how is it they happened to be in Bethlehem? You know, you put all these things together and you see God's power, this whole package of God. But we come to verse 28 and it says, you know, the angel said to Mary, "Hail, highly favored one of God." Now, do you think there were a lot of good people throughout the history of Israel? Do you think there were really a lot of good people living when Mary was living? Do you think there were a lot of good women? Well, of course, we have to zero down, don't we, to the tribe of Judah. We realize we have to get, you know, pretty specific here. And, you know, who knows how many other women are very godly, but there's something about Mary. And when you think about what Mary would have to live with throughout her life with Jesus, we come to understand that Mary was very special. How much strength would you have to be a mother and watch the things that Jesus went through? You know, we'll unfold a little bit more of that in the sermon, but when you realize her faithfulness and her dedication to her son and the turmoil of her heart that she would have, you know, time after time, watching the rejection of her son and ultimately the crucifixion of her son, this would be a very, very special woman. Did God know this about Mary? Obviously he did. Hail, highly favored one of God. She sees the angel, and of course, if an angel appears to you, what are you going to do? You know, if you know this is an angel, what are you going to be doing? I'm going to be quivering, you know. I'm probably going to be falling on my knees, and the angel would have to tell me, "Don't worship me, you know, I'm just an angel." Okay, so this would be she was filled with some trepidation here, but the angel tries to reassure her and to let her know, "You are a highly favored one of God. God has chosen you to use you as that which every woman of Judah dreamed would happen in their life, and that was that they would give birth to to the Messiah. Does Mary really get it right now? I kind of doubt that she could get the full picture and really, you know, it's like big news. How do you sometimes receive everything that that means, you know, at that moment? I don't know exactly. But certainly it would be unfolded to her in time what this really meant. And I think even in this text, dealing with Elizabeth as well, that there are some things that she says that show us that she knew this was a very special thing that God was doing. All right, attention to the fact, did Jesus have like harlots in his background, you know, any ancestors that were harlots or, you know, evil people? Yeah, he did, but not his mom. What was her state? She was a virgin. Okay, so she had lived in purity, very committed to her Lord. And in fact, when the angel says you're going to have a child, what's her question? Yeah, how is this going to take place? Because I don't know a man. Now, Zacharias had asked the question, how is this going to be? What's the difference between him and Mary? Zacharias did not believe when he asked his question. For Mary, it's just a wondering, can you explain the details? Because it might not completely make sense to me. And thus, of course, then the angel continues the story that it is going to be an amazing thing. God that will plant the seed within you. You stop and think about that. God is going to miraculously put the seed that is necessary into the woman. And the woman then can proceed to do her reproduction thing, the growing of the flesh and the baby and the body, and she can eventually give birth to it. But how can we possibly comprehend, you know, what this really means? And, you know, what a woman of great faith Mary had to be at this point for her to believe that this could actually take place. You know, you're going to give birth. You're going to continue to be a virgin, but you're going to give birth, and it's going to be God who is going to bring about this conception. And what an amazing, amazing story. And again, the power of God that is written over this entire picture, it is an incredible and an amazing thing that should get us down on our knees and say, God, only you are God. What you can do in the intricacies of humanity, in the expression of your power, you are an amazing God and you are my God. And we're going to see Mary actually kind of echo some of these things later on in what we know as her Magnificat. So God had said in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that there was going to come, someone turn that and be ready to read that for me if you will. Isaiah 7 verse 14. And God had set forth the concept that someday a virgin, there's some controversy about that word virgin. Does it necessarily mean virgin? And actually this is what it means. It means a young maiden who is a virgin. And it's not a married woman. It was a word that was used that virginity was expected. That's what you would expect out of this young maiden, is someone that is a virgin. So does virgin qualify in Isaiah 7:14? Yeah, someone read that for me. All right. So the virgin is going to conceive, and we have this beautiful picture. She's going to conceive. She's going to give birth. And because it's going to be a birth that's going to come through the woman, what is it going to be called? Emmanuel. And what does that mean? God with us. We just have this beautiful coming together. God, Mary, the fleshly body of Mary, and the child that is produced. Who is this child that is produced? Son of God. Son of man. You know, what a beautiful painting this is. Very, very rich artistry that God is putting together. What better way could God show, I am coming to be one of you? Now, it's going to be God. If I'm coming, God is going to come and be one of you. God is coming. But then to do so through this human mother to produce the body. What better way could God say, I am truly coming to try to be one of you? And yet, what are we to God? We are simply the created. He's the creator. And we are the created. What an amazing thing. And so Emmanuel, we have Emmanuel by prophecy. And of course, in Matthew 1, we have the virgin, the idea of the virgin presented as well. And she was betrothed, of course, to Joseph. What was a betrothal? Anybody know Jewish custom? Similar to engagement, but it was actually a legal binding. There were like two parts of marriage. Number one, there is betrothal, and then there is a coming together and wedding, and when you continue your life together. So there is a legal binding that takes place, and then you go forward to actually continuing the marriage, if you will. So she is betrothed, and there is a legal binding, and that's why when Joseph found out she was pregnant, what did he say? He was minded to do what? To put her away. Why would he put her away? Well, he had a legal tie to her. You see, it wasn't like, stop the tie here, I'll go after somebody else. He was minded to put her away. But the angel continues, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And that's the completion of the wife project there. For that which is within her is of the Holy Spirit. So finally, God brings Joseph. We'll get back to that here, maybe probably next week. Okay, so here is the virgin. Again, God's power everywhere. Today, what does the world think if when you say, to your atheist scientist that God used a virgin to bring about, the Savior of the world? Well, of course, science would know today, with infertility, and actually a woman could be a virgin today and have, of course, the seed planted within her by procedure. But of course, they weren't doing this back in the time of Jesus, and it's something that's a matter of scoffing, of course, by our world. But we always come back to, if God can create the world, create the universe, what else can he do? What's that chief verse in verse 37? What does that say? Someone read that. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is impossible. Isn't it interesting that Gabriel inserts that in the midst of all of this? God can make this happen. And truly, he can, and truly, he did. Of course, Mary, how does she feel about this? Verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Two things to think about this. She's going to get pregnant. How is she going to look in her culture? There are some that are going to go tell Joseph, that Mary is pregnant. And what does Joseph think? Mary has, not good. And that's kind of what perhaps the culture would be thinking. And maybe, Mary could have thought about that for a moment. But wait a minute. God chose her because she was a woman of what? Great faith. You are highly favored. God knew what she was going to do. And when he explains this project to her, she says, I am your handmaiden. What does that mean when he says, I'm your handmaiden? What's another word for that? Servant. I am your servant. You just use me any way you want to use me. Now, she had to be excited about this, and she also had to be filled with intrepidation about what this really meant. Do I have any idea what this really means? She probably, there's no way she could know, but, she had to think about that for a moment. But the willingness on her part, I think, is a very beautiful thing. And there's the old sermon, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. How many of us really feel that way? Lord, use me, how far do we want God to use us? In your own mind, really, how far do you want God to use you? Until when? Until it's difficult enough that I don't want him to use me anymore, right? I understand that, you know. Oh, Lord, let me be your tool. Up until the point that I'm not willing to go past this wall right here. But use me as your tool, Lord. Well, what if my wall is right here, you know? Lord, use me. Just use me. Well, what was Mary's attitude? Be it done to me according to your word. Just use me. Oh, what pain she's going to have in her life as a result of that. But, you know, we really ask ourselves, how much dedication do I have? Where are my walls? Where are the restrictions that I throw upon God in his use of me? Does anybody have any of those? Be honest with yourself. What do you need to do with those restrictions? We always get back, you know, scary things in discipleship. You know, scary passages. This is a scary passage. You know, list of scary passages. Lord, lift my self-promoted restrictions in me being a tool for your glory. That can take you some pretty scary and challenging places, right? Yeah. Yes. You're looking at the sermon topic is always actually going to cover this. Go ahead. Exactly. Thank you, sister. We are kindred spirit, and you're exactly right. This is how godly people think, isn't it? It's how you approach your life. And you refuse to let yourself be whammed by the reverses of life. You refuse to let yourself be flattened by the challenges that sometimes are like amazing challenges. But with God, all things are possible. That's true with God, but it's also true with what he can do within us in facing certain situations. And again, the angel inserted that for a reason, and I wonder how many times Mary reflected back upon that. It is possible. You know, where is all this going? You know, she could have seen a lot of bad things happening with her son and wondering what's the end of that. But, you know, no doubt, the person that she was, God chose her. She chose to have a certain attitude about her life. And she's still going to be sticking around when Jesus is on the cross, right? She's going to be there facing those challenges. So, yeah, good point. All right. So, looking at ourselves, practicing our faith, asking God not to let walls be in the way of our service, be whatever we need to be, answering God's challenges to move forward by faith and not being squashed by those challenges, not allowing our attitudes to be stunted because of the difficulties that we face, right? All of these, this is life, isn't it? That's what we're looking at. That's what we see in this great example here of Mary. Tremendous cooperation with God. Isn't that what we're really looking at? My God, I want to cooperate with you. And that's the big umbrella. And if I'm going to cooperate with God, it means use me however you want to use me. Okay. So I think this is good for American Christians because it's true worldwide, but I think American Christians, we have our own set of things that work within us that keep us from a fully committed heart. And we really don't want a fully committed heart. I don't think a lot of Christians do because of what it's going to cost them, what the risk is. So Mary really teaches us quite a bit. All right, anything else about Mary? We're not through with Mary, of course, but we can't talk about her whole life here. It's the life of Christ we're talking about. We'll come back to Mary, of course, many times as we look to the future. All right, so we have Mary, and we also, of course, come to the Gabriel. And we studied angels last year. Remember that on Wednesday night? The purpose of studying that was for our own strength and to realize sometimes we have these little views of God's workings that we very easily accept, and it's like we diminish what God does. But in his angelic organization, God is an amazing God. The angelic organization is an amazing organization. This is an organization of servants for God. They are active servants. They go in the mighty power of God. Daniel 10 through 12 shows angels at work, and they're in battle against what seems to be the Satan's angels. There's stuff going on in the spiritual world that is far beyond us. You know, we might be pouring our cereal and milk in the morning and pouring our coffee after a good night's sleep. Meanwhile, there is stuff going on between darkness and light. Okay, so, wow, we have no idea what's going on in the spiritual zone that affects us. Okay, so we have Gabriel here, who is this one of the great angels, and God is using him. He has been given the great privilege to be the messenger to earth to broadcast the news of Jesus Christ to Mary and to Joseph. Now, how did he get that role? Why was it Daniel? You know, what did he do? You know, I mean, Gabriel. Why was it Gabriel? I don't know why it was Gabriel, but he was the one that God had chosen. And he actually said, remember what we said last week? He told Elizabeth, I have come from where? The presence of God. He was sent by God himself to go to Mary. Three individuals, God, Gabriel, and Mary, and Elizabeth. Directly from God. You know, what an amazing thing that is. Zacharias knew something was strange here. He apparently knew he was an angel. He was, of course, filled with that fear. He stood in the presence of God, sent by God. He was sent to declare God's message. His words were God's words when in verse 20, when Zacharias didn't believe his words, what's going to come about from that? Zacharias is going to have to eventually go mute. He's not believing all this. Why? Because this message is not just the message of man. This is the message of God. Okay, so he was sent by God to the city, to Mary, to Elizabeth. And we have the angel here, which I think it's always interesting to look at the declarations of the angels, whether in Revelation or the Old Testament. Here is the angel himself, Gabriel, saying, with God, Elizabeth, nothing is impossible. Did Gabriel really know that? You think of Gabriel, who's serving God in his presence. He's seeing God act. Gabriel could look, you know, at the little created little being, little ant on the earth, you know. We could have the great angel come and say, Mary or Elizabeth, with God, all things are possible. And, you know, if an angel is saying this, in his great power and might and who he is, don't we know that's that reality? Don't we know beyond all things? What can God do? Nothing is beyond his ability. And again, we go back to creation. Of course, it took 6 days for God to create the world, right? And that's why on the seventh day he rested, because he was tired. You know, it took a full 6 days, right? Well, that's not what creation's all about. How quickly could God have made the world? Yeah, as one scientist said, you know, God could have built creation science, that God, why did it take God so long when he could have just, you know, he could have just done splat and everything is here. But God had a point that he was making, wasn't he? And his point would reverberate a lot of 6 days, the seventh day, etc., with mankind throughout history. But nothing is impossible with God. And this is, of course, another point that is so important to us as Christians. If that was not true, what would it mean to us? If that was not true, that some things are not possible for God, what would that mean? Should you start fearing? He's not all-powerful. Should you start being concerned that maybe the spiritual forces could have victory over God? Should we be concerned that maybe there's a battle coming up and that Satan will defeat God? Do we really realize how this is such a basic pedestal of our faith? With God, all things are possible. Why? Because he's the absolute controller. He is the absolute power. And we trust in that, don't we, in our hope. And we trust in that in our faith. Okay? Do we see this? How beautiful, how wonderful this really is. These are things we take for granted. But yet they are at the very foundation of what we are before God, and at the very foundation of our faith in our God. All right. So there's Gabriel. Again, we spent 2 or 3 weeks last year talking about angels. And there's a lot more that we could say, but anything else? Any questions or comments? Okay. Amazing situation. Then we come to the subject of Jesus. Let's see here. Mark, can you hit the presentation app or whoever? Can't see who's back there. Put the cursor on the presentation app. There we go. We come to Jesus. And we have these things about Jesus. Of course, why do we have all this text? It's fun to talk about Mary. It's fun to talk about Gabriel. Zacharias, isn't that just a scream, you know, the things that happened to Zacharias? You know, I mean, we can pull all these things out, and they're so interesting. But what it's all about? What is it all about? Why are all these things given to us? Well, it was all about our Savior, wasn't it? What is God doing? God is bringing Jesus to earth. And so it is in this text. We have Jesus who is coming as a result of the forerunner, all the plans of God. He is going to be born of a woman, and thus he's going to be that Son of Man, that Emmanuel. He is going to be called Jesus. That name was a common name, but of course it had some merit, it had some meaning to it, because Jehovah is salvation. You know, just say his name. Jehovah is salvation. Well, guess who this was? It was Jehovah. Jehovah is standing right there when you say, Jehovah is salvation, I have a question. You know, he's the one to answer the question because he is Jehovah. All right, so it says in verse 32 that the angel says, and he will be great. You know, what an understatement. He will be great. And he will be the Son of the Highest, and the Son of the Highest, verse 32, and he's going to be called, therefore, being of the Holy One, of the Holy Spirit, therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And there again, the Holy Spirit, God, Mary, the flesh, and thus we have Jesus coming, God, and living in a human body. Okay, so Son of Man, what book emphasizes Jesus as the Son of Man? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Human side of Jesus. Which gospel? Luke. Okay, the book of Luke. And which one in great narrative emphasizes, and recording what Jesus says, emphasizes him being the Son of God? John. Matthew also does that too, does he, by Jewish prophecy. But two very different approaches between Luke and John. And Luke and John, you could say, okay, put the book of Luke behind here and put the book of John behind here. And we have this picture given to us. And the Gabriel then, in verse 32, continues that he will be, verse 33, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Okay? If he is over the house of Jacob, what does that relate to? What promises of God? And we come to eventually to this kingdom, the kingdom thoughts and the reign of David himself. Okay, so Jesus is going to reign. The one that is going to come is going to be the ruler. He is the Lord in verse 43. In Jesus there is a visitation of God. He's coming as Redeemer. And he will come and fulfill the prophets regarding salvation and God's great mercy. Okay, so there's a sermon right here, right? All by itself. There's a study right here, just out of Luke, the first chapter. Who our Savior is. I mean, we just have the Scripture so chock full. Everywhere you turn, you just have Savior. You have Messiah written all over it. And what an amazing thing, the power and the brilliance and the beauty of what we have in the Word of God. All right. So a little synopsis there about Jesus. Anything about any questions about Jesus? Or anything that you want to add out of this text? What a glorious way, of course. God is promoting Jesus. He's looking at, you know, there's Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias. But in all of this, there is the promoting of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, isn't he? All right. If you can hit that presentation app again. Thank you. So we have Elizabeth and Mary who now both respond to the great blessings that God has given to them. We come down to verse 41 with Elizabeth. And we have, in verse 31, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. Mary has visited Elizabeth. That the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, Mary. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord," she's the great honor she has towards God, towards her Savior. She knows what this is all about. "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded to my ears," what happened? When she heard the sound, what happened? The baby leaped in her womb. All right. Who was that for, do you think? Why did God have the baby leap in the womb? It kind of said something to Elizabeth, didn't it? You know, I mean, it's like the whole package just coming together. And thank you very much, George. Appreciate it. The old unpredictable voice. And so it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so, you know, we have Mary's feeling of honor in this situation. You know, putting this together, can you imagine these two women trying to fathom? How do you hold all this information, all this truth in your mind? And the babe just jumps in her womb. She's had miraculous things happen to her. Gabriel, you know, and then she's in the presence of Mary, and Mary, the miraculous, you know, and the presence of Gabriel. How do you fathom all of these things? You have these two women coming together. It's like, what has to come out of this situation? Praise has to come out of this. They know what's going on. They both know. The Messiah is coming to the world, and we're both involved in this process. And you can imagine the tremendous joy that they felt. How much awe had to be going on in their hearts. But we then continue with marriage, and we see these beautiful things that follow. And down in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, remember where she is? What's going on? "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Now, not in a Catholic manner. How many of us realized how blessed this woman was? That's really where we're going this morning. "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in with his arm, and has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." Very interesting. Who has he just exalted? Some poor family on the road, you know, going to be on the road even, you know, Nazareth, going to Nazareth, nothing there, you know. And Mary of no, you know, noble past, just a humble woman. And Joseph, a humble man, he has exalted the holy. It wasn't a king that the Messiah came to. He wasn't born in the king's house. He is born to a lowly family. And he has filled the hungry with good things. If you're hungry for God, what do you get? You know, it's like when you're going to a potluck and someone says, "I hope there's enough food." When you get there, what do you do? Did you just fill your plate up? You know, take two big plates and you fill all your plates up, you know. There might not be enough food. I'll get a little bit. If you get there and 10 people are coming and there are like 17 tables filled with all kinds of food, you know, what do you get to do? I mean, if you're so disposed, you get to eat as much as you want. I mean, the feast is on. Take everything you want. When we come to God and we're spiritually hungry, what do we get? Everything we need. Everything we can imagine. All the power we need for our life. We have all of the blessings that we could possibly possess. And we have the promise of God that we're going to live forever. Wow. Just incredible. And that's available for whom? Yeah. Every one of us. Everybody sitting here. If you're hungry, hey, God will fill you up. And verse 54, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever." Again, I noticed last week, it's interesting that Mary brings up Abraham, because does that come into this equation of Jesus Christ? Yeah. What did God do in Genesis? He created the what of the Messiah? The family. He created the ancestors of the Messiah, Israel. Israel is going to come down specifically to Judah. But we have all this coming to be here in the Savior. Promises to Abraham, of course, that will make that nation in the book of Genesis. So we have the Abrahamic promise coming to be in Jesus Christ. And is Mary aware of it? Think of what it means to her. Abraham the father, "I'm carrying the child," with those promises that are made to Abraham. Very amazing. Thanks for your attention.